D-Mace Wingen and Donick 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Wingen, and David Janes here with you on a sweltering Tuesday in our fair city. I was out at Titans practice today.
Your fault.
Hey, I do it for the show.
I know, for the
love. I do it for the people.
For the love.
I wanted to be out there. I wanted to see practice for myself since the Titans were out of town for 2 weeks. I also wanted to see if there was going to be another kerfuffle. By the way, because Teron Davenport disliked the word kerfuffle so much, should we add kerfuffle to the list of banned words and phrases on our program?
We got to think about that. I like kerfuffle.
For those of you who are new to our program, I decided that we should ban certain words and phrases on our program. The list so far, generational, the word generational.
Yes.
As in generational talent that is banned from our show. The phrase checks all the boxes has been banned from our show.
Mm-hmm.
We had a suggestion on the text line the other day. Skins on the wall.
Ooh.
Should be banned from our show.
Ooh. What do you think about that, Willie? What do you think about that?
I think there's something to that.
Okay.
I think we need to come up with a better way to say that.
But I don't think we use skins on the walls a lot? Skin on the wall a lot? Skins on the wall.
We have.
We have used it.
Have we? I know we've used it, but I'm saying have we used it ad
nauseam? I don't think we overuse it.
I think if we're cutting edge, though, we ban it before it becomes even close to being overused.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So,
I'm agreeing. It's 2-1, so
okay.
We are moving forward.
Skins on the wall, banned.
Banned.
Okay,
good.
There's one more. What's the other one that's banned?
Generational.
We said generational. We said skins on the wall now. We said checks off the boxes.
Yeah, checks all the boxes. What else?
There's one more, and I have to think of it.
Someone remind us. Someone remind us. 615-737-1025. We'll talk about kerfuffle. Teron did not like the word kerfuffle. But speaking of Teron Davenport, who I saw today at Titans practice, he and Jeremy Fowler had a lengthy story on ESPN.com today. The headline, Cam Ward, Brian Callahan, and the Tennessee Titans' historically worrying challenge. Have Titans learned from Caleb Williams and Bryce Young issues? So this is a long story, of course, talking about what the Titans are about to embark on with Cam Ward and Brian Callahan in Ward's rookie season. There's a lot in here about what went wrong with Bryce Young in Carolina, Frank Reich, who was Bryce Young's coach briefly in Carolina, is quoted extensively in this story. There's a lot about Caleb Williams. We are going to dig into this story throughout the next couple of days because there is a lot in here that is worth discussing. But I want to start today on what I think is probably the most newsworthy aspect of this story. And I will read here from Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler. Quote, deepening the intrigue is an organization that has faced its share of turmoil after firing a key figurehead in three straight cycles. General manager John Robinson in December of 2022, coach Mike Vrabel in January of 2024, and Robinson's replacement Rand Carthon in January 2025. Of late, the organizational timeline resembles scribbles in a child's coloring book, which I chuckled when I read for the first time. The franchise hired Chad Brinker from Green Bay as assistant general manager in February 2023, a month after hiring Carthon as GM, only to promote both figures after the 2023 season, naming Brinker the president of football operations and Carthon a vice president. A year after that, Tennessee owner Amy Adams Strunk fired Carthon on January 7th, then turned to Brinker to fix the problem. Brinker handpicked Mike Borgonzi, a longtime Kansas City lieutenant, as GM. Both Borgonzi and Brinker come from places that value longevity, which requires patience. Now, here is the key graph. Again, from Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler on ESPN.com. Quote, there was consideration given to completely cleaning house and sending Callahan on his way along with Carthon. Multiple Titan sources confirmed. Callahan and Carthon had a close relationship, and having the number one pick gave Tennessee an opportunity to bring in a new general manager, coach, and rookie quarterback at the same time. But the front office took an honest look at the talent on the roster and factored that into Callahan's record in his first season. The front office didn't lose sight of Callahan being one of the league's in-demand coaches, coaching candidates, I should say, when the Titans hired him. So that is the most newsworthy aspect of this story from a Titans perspective. There was consideration given to completely cleaning house and sending Callahan on his way along with Carthon, according to multiple Titans sources. But the front office took an honest look at the talent on the roster and factored that into Callahan's record in his first season. So, not that I think any of us are surprised to hear that the Titans considered firing Brian Callahan, but Willie, when you read this great story by Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler, and I recommend all of you to go to ESPN.com and read this whole thing because it's chock full of great information. What did you make of that portion of it when you read it for the first time?
Well, that part didn't surprise me because I think we at the time we heard quite a bit of that, and that wasn't really the best part of the story. It's a very detailed story. There was a lot that I found very relevant. To me, that wasn't a bombshell because he was in his first year and because, look, that's what should have happened. I don't understand why you would bring in a coach and then fire him after 1 year based on the talent that was there. What I did find most interesting was some of the pitfalls that the Panthers and then last year's version of the Bears fell into. Now, the Bears did make the change and are starting fully all over with a second-year quarterback. So they did fire the coach in the first year, and the Panthers did fire the coach. I think that's kind of why it's a little bit more realistic than for me, where I just think unless you completely have no idea what you're doing, then I don't see why you would fire a coach after 1 year, especially one with Callahan's building blocks that put him in the running as maybe the most sought-after head coach on the market. Let's not forget that when he was out on the market, the Titans accelerated their process by firing Vrabel early, doing the interviews early so that they could get to Callahan. So unless they completely botched the interview process and misread Callahan's ability, to fire him after 1 year where they had as little talent as they did wouldn't have made any sense to me.
No, and the more you look at it, I don't think when you come in as a head coach and you assess the roster, because I know the question was asked of Brian Callahan, you know, when he took the job, did he get a chance to evaluate the roster? Have you seen it? But from, you know, have you really taken a deep dive into it? And I'm not quite sure. I know his answer wasn't a blatant yes, but I'm sure it was sort of, you know, yeah, I've looked at the roster, haven't taken a deep dive, but I know we got some players, yada, yada, yada. But when you actually get here, you look at the roster and you say, man, it's worse than what I thought. And on top of that, because Frank Wright did talk about, listen, I knew the task I was taking on and I knew the vision, but was everybody's vision the same within that building, you know, and on that coaching staff? Well, if you look at it over the last three seasons or two seasons, nobody's vision has been the same. Why? Because she keep firing people. And Miss Amy has a right to fire, you know, anybody she chooses to if she don't believe the job is getting done. But you went through three GMs basically in 3 years, and it didn't seem like there was a shared vision, or when they said it was, it all didn't come align the way it should have been. And if you fire a coach, say like Brian Callahan after 1 year, that tells me again y'all vision didn't align, because if it did, you would give him time to develop the quarterback. If everybody's on the same road and we're looking in the same direction, And yet still, you fire a guy after one season with a quarterback, then y'all vision wasn't aligned. You said it was, but it wasn't. And I'm afraid that's where we're going to be with the Titans after this season, if indeed the visions are not aligned.
That's why I really think the best thing for the franchise is to ride it out, even through the tough times. And I think they're very likely to have a lot of very tough times. It's going to look ugly, but I'm going in with the assumption, or the belief, I should say, not the assumption, but the belief that it's not going to look ugly because they're poorly coached. Their roster is bad, and it's bad because they've had five drafts in a row that have yielded very little. Three that yielded basically Roger McCreary, and that's it. That's three drafts where you got Roger McCreary, and that's it, 20 to 22. Then 23 and 24, you've got maybe a little something. Let's see, Skoronski, Latham, Sweat. But that's three. That's two more drafts where you've got three players total, and then maybe a couple of pieces here and there. And then hopefully this past draft is the start of something. But when you have a roster that low, 28th out of 32 is being kind. The power rankings came out today at ESPN. They're dead last. So how could the coach look good? But you have to look past that if you're ownership, and you have to say what's best for the young quarterback. They've got one chance to be good in the next few years, and that's if Cam Ward is good. They've put everything behind him. So I think history has shown that when you are slashing and burning around a young quarterback, it can destroy the quarterbacks. There's a line in that story that's really good, the adage of there are far more quarterbacks who are failed by the organization than fail themselves or something to that effect. You don't want to be the next one in line of that. There's too many cautionary tales. Learn from it.
And one thing that we absolutely do know, and this story points it out, is that teams that start rookie quarterbacks don't win a lot.
They don't win.
According to this story, teams that start rookie QBs in the NFL's 32-team era, so since 2002, so we have more than 20 years of data, teams that start rookie quarterbacks are a combined 431, 655, and 2, a winning percentage of 397. Again, 397. The list of number one selections with winning records in a minimum of three starts as rookie quarterbacks in the common draft era is one name long, Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. In 2012.
And that's a special set of circumstances, right? We know why. Mm-hmm. Not only was he really good, and he was.
But his roster was good.
But they had a good team that sunk all the way to the bottom because they didn't have Peyton Manning for the 1 year, and then the remnants of that were still there, which put them in a better position to succeed. So that list, to me, is much more pertinent than even the big, long list of rookies because that includes that's not a great winning record. I mean, that's not a great record to start with, 397. But that includes guys picked maybe in the lower part of the first round, the Joe Flaccos, the Ben Roethlisbergers, who jumped in on a good team.
Right. It's not isolated to number one overall
picks. Number one pick, you have to remember that you're inheriting the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
And you're a rookie quarterback. It's fraught with disaster.
ESPN does have data for most rookie wins by a number one overall quarterback since 1967. The aforementioned Andrew Luck, 11 wins in 2012. Sam Bradford, 7 wins with the Rams in 2010. Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, and Jim Plunkett.
Ooh,
Jim. 6 wins each in 2018, 2015, 2011, and 1971, respectively.
Now, 1971, they only played 14 games. So that was 6-8, I guess. Yeah. So not too bad.
But I think the trend is when you see teams that win, let's just say 6 or more games, usually their roster isn't as – it's bad, but it's not a total depletion of the roster. Last year, I believe, was a total depletion of the Tennessee Titans roster, and it showed. I think this season, even though the roster isn't great, I think it's better than last year's roster. So, you know, 6 games – should be sort of the thought when you're looking at the Titans and saying how many games are they going to win. Well, if you're judging it by, you know, the last, what was it, seven guys that were number one picks, they either had a really good roster, Andrew Luck, or an okay roster, but not horrible like the Titans were a year ago. I don't think this roster is a really good roster, but I think it's a roster that's much better than it was last year.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are digging into this story by Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler on ESPN.com. Cam Ward, Brian Callahan, and the Tennessee Titans' historically worrying challenge. We'll take your thoughts on that. But coming up next, Chad Brinker is quoted in the story multiple times. There is a word that Chad Brinker used in a quote in this story about Brian Callahan that I have zeroed in on. And I want to discuss that one word and what it means to all of us when it comes to Brian Callahan in year two. 615-737-1025 later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan. The Nashville Sounds take on Louisville at First Horizon Park. First pitch is at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, talking Brian Callahan. Chad Brinker tells ESPN that the reason why the Titans brought back Brian Callahan as head coach is because, quote, we wanted to give him that opportunity to grow as a head football coach. We felt like another year to grow into that, and we're going to need to see that growth. We believe in Brian, and we think he's going to get there, so that's why he was retained. So my question to all of you at 615-737-1025 is, what constitutes growth for Brian Callahan in year two? What must you see? I know some of you may think a better win-loss record, as we already have shown you. Rookie quarterbacks don't win a lot. But I want to know what constitutes growth for you. Let's start with George, who has been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. George, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call. Surely we all want wins, and I understand that. But I actually will measure his growth by three factors. One, preparedness, and that includes adjustments made at halftime. Two, discipline. That's regarding penalties and boneheaded plays. And then the third one, and to me, one of the most important things in football, intensity. I want to see a team out there that's hungry to win, that wants to hit whatever's in front of them. I just want to see them play with passion. To me, that reflects more on the coach than anything else.
Thanks, George. That sounds a lot like your list, Willie.
And some of those are a little bit subjective, the intensity. But I do think, because I would tell you that some of this, and I asked D-Mace these exact questions when I brought up all the numbers, penalties, bottom five in the league, fourth most pre-snap penalties, second most penalties per game period, 7.8. Dead last in giveaways, 34, tied for the most anyway. 31st in turnover margin, minus 16. Dead last in special teams, 24th in red zone offense, 25th in red zone defense. When you have less talent, you're more likely to finish down in those categories. It's not like even the least talented teams have full control. Like, show me a team that doesn't have much talent. If I'm playing quarterback as good as D-Mace is at receiver, if you're blocking for me, Adam, and David's blocking for me, I'm probably going to turn the ball over more because I'm not very good and I don't have good protection. As good as Derek might be, I'm probably going to throw some picks. So it's hard to really quantify what's on the coach and what's on the talent he's given. But they've got to be better there. They've got to be better in those areas.
Let's run through some of your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Benjamin, in terms of what constitutes growth for Brian Callahan in year two. Benjamin says, Cam Ward developing into a starting quarterback and the O-line being in the top half of the league. Another texter says, growth will look like a well-functioning offense, competent special teams play, and a quarterback who is playing better at the end of the season than at the beginning. Rob on our text line says, to me, growth will be better clock management, better play calling in regards to putting people in the best position to succeed, allowing them to play to their talents, and maybe even holding players and coaches more accountable instead of trying to be the nice guy all the time.
See, that last one, not the last part, but that last text.
Holding coaches more accountable?
No, before that, when he... And that's what I want to see.
You want me to read
well-ran offense.
Okay, let me read it again, and you tell me which point you're... Rob says, to me, growth will be better clock management,
mm-hmm.
better play calling mm-hmm. in regards to putting people in the best position to succeed.
That part right there.
Okay.
I understand that part. But here's the thing. I think, and I don't know this for sure, so don't quote me on this, but... As I'm watching all these games, and I think we've talked about this before, I think he wanted to do more, but he couldn't
because of Will
do
Levis.
More. Will Levis, the offensive line. That's like having, you know, a car, and I got my car, you got a car that has a bigger engine. I want to beat you, but I can't because I don't have the horsepower to do it. I may take off real fast, but I can't beat you. I may stay with you for a quarter mile, but I'm not going to beat you in the end. That's where the Titans were last year. And this year, I think he's going to be able, based upon what I've seen from the offensive line, I think he's going to be able to do a little bit more than what he was able to do. It's not that he didn't want to do those things, and the texter's right. That's what you want to see. I don't think he could do those things last year. I think this year, hopefully, from what we've seen, Peter Skoronski looked like the best offensive lineman on that team. If that is indeed the case and everybody else is developing it the way it seems they are, then I think he's going to be able to do a lot more this year than he wasn't able to do last year.
Adam in Portland texts in and says, growth would mean we are in all of these games. These are professionals. They may not know how to win yet, but they should be competitive every week. Adam also clarified what he was trying to say before his phone cut out. He said, my point being is that if those positions are decent on your team, meaning the positions that regularly get drafted number one overall, my point being is that if those positions are decent on your team, you usually have a good team. I feel like our quarterback is going to be good because he's smart and no one sees him coming, but the other positions, pass rusher, sucks. Cornerback, sucks. Offensive tackle, questionable. I think Cam could do really well and still be a horrible team, but I expect him to be really good, especially in our terrible division. But Adam also said growth would mean we are in all of these games. These are professionals. They may not know how to win yet, but they should be competitive every week. Let's go to T-Mac from Murfreesboro on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. T-Mac, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what D-May said, because I remember watching the season last year and, you know, maybe three games in and you're looking at Will Levis and you're thinking, nah, he ain't it. He ain't it. And even at that point, you know, I started flirting with the idea, like, do we need to tank so we can just get another quarterback? And maybe that's what happened. Maybe they had to be the worst team so they could get a better quarterback. But I think what I want to see from Callahan, I want to see the decision-making in games. I want to see him play mental chess with the other coach over on the other side, like we would see Mike Vrabel do in a playoff game with the Patriots, playing mental chess with Bill Belichick. And I hang up and listen.
Thank you, T-Mac.
I mean, you hope that it gets to that point where, you know, and again, I can play sort of this mental chess back and forth with you when I feel I have the pieces to play. But I ain't playing chess with you with checker pieces. I can't do that. So, yeah, we would like him to play those sort of, you know, be able to do those things that, like, some of those other, you know, well-known coaches have done and continue to do. And when Brian goes against him, you hope that can happen. But if you've given me checker pieces, I can't play chess no matter what. I just can't play it.
It's like that scene from The Wire where they were playing checker on the chessboard.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't do it.
What a great show. What a great show that
you
was.
Love The Wire.
Oh, it's
that.
A fabulous show. Nevertheless, Willie, there is another part of this story from Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler on ESPN. Quote, the sense on the ground during Tennessee's training camp is that Callahan is well supported and that modest progress could be enough to keep his job beyond this year, depending on how that progress looks. Quote, he was in an incredibly tough situation last year, a team source said, and team officials have noticed Callahan has shown more vocal leadership in year two, which we might talk a little bit about in the next hour. The objective for the team is clear, just improve. But according to Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler, modest progress could be enough to keep his job beyond this year.
I hope that they're entering in with the hope that he makes it. Just because we have documented, it's a fact. It is historical fact. Now, maybe people don't study history in the Titans front office. I think that somebody probably does and could bring these numbers to the table. How often it hasn't worked when you can the coach right away. So I think you would want him to succeed and not be looking for reasons. Who told us that? Lewis Riddick, when we had him on. He said there are a lot of people who are the new regime, and they have the holdover coach, and you're looking for reasons to get, quote, your guy in there, when you're the ones that have put him in a bad position, right? It's easy to say, well, I know more than this, and so I'm going to get my guy in there. It's not always the solution. So I would hope that you're going in with the hope that he succeeds and doesn't fail. I'm doing a study now. I've got 20 quarterbacks, the last 20, based on Adam's call earlier that got the wheels turning on this. I don't know when we have time to duck this in. But the percentage of the time that the first pick works out satisfactorily to the team, let's calculate in our minds, we can be subjective about it, of how it's worked out. Satisfactory, or you would say, nope, I won't take that for Cam Ward. Right? We'll see, because it's so not a slam dunk. I'm going to guess that it's below 50%, your satisfactory rate. So this is a tough thing. Like, what is progress, right? That's the big question. It's subjective.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on this. What constitutes growth for Brian Callahan in year number two? But coming up next, we talked about this yesterday, a lot yesterday. The scuffle, the dust-up, the confrontation. Kerfuffle, Teron, between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons at practice. Jeffrey Simmons addressed it after practice today, and I was left unsatisfied by his response. And I'll explain why. Coming up next, 615-737-1025, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, talking Brian Callahan. Chad Brinker tells ESPN that the reason why the Titans brought back Brian Callahan as head coach is because, quote, we wanted to give him that opportunity to grow as a head football coach. We felt like another year to grow into that, and we're going to need to see that growth. We believe in Brian, and we think he's going to get there, so that's why he was retained. So my question to all of you at 615-737-1025 is, what constitutes growth for Brian Callahan in year two? What must you see? I know some of you may think a better win-loss record, as we already have shown you. Rookie quarterbacks don't win a lot. But I want to know what constitutes growth for you. Let's start with George, who has been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. George, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call. Surely we all want wins, and I understand that, but I actually will measure his growth three factors. One, preparedness, and that includes adjustments made at halftime. Two, discipline, that's regarding penalties and boneheaded plays. And then the third one, and to me, one of the most important things in football, intensity. I want to see a team out there that's hungry to win, that wants to hit whatever's in front of them. I just want to see them play with passion. To me, that reflects more on the coach than anything else.
Thanks, George. That sounds a lot like your list, Willie.
and some of those are a little bit subjective, the intensity. But I do think, because I would tell you that some of this, and I asked D. Mace these exact questions when I brought up all the numbers, penalties, bottom five in the league, fourth most pre-snap penalties, second most penalties per game period, 7.8, dead last in giveaways, 34, tied for the most anyway, 31st in turnover margin, minus 16, dead last in special teams, 24th in red zone offense, 25th in red zone defense. When you have less talent, you're more likely to finish down in those categories. It's not like even the least talented teams have full control. Like, show me a team that doesn't have much talent. If I'm playing quarterback as good as D-Mace is at receiver, if you're blocking for me, Adam, and David's blocking for me, I'm probably going to turn the ball over more because I'm not very good and I don't have good protection. As good as Derek might be, I'm probably going to throw some picks. So it's hard to really quantify what's on the coach and what's on the talent he's given. But they've got to be better there. They've got to be better in those areas.
Let's run through some of your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Benjamin, in terms of what constitutes growth for Brian Callahan in year two. Benjamin says, Cam Ward developing into a starting quarterback and the O-line being in the top half of the league. Another texter says, growth will look like a well-functioning offense, competent special teams play, and a quarterback who is playing better at the end of the season than at the beginning. Rob on our text line says, to me, growth will be better clock management, better play calling in regards to putting people in the best position to succeed, allowing them to play to their talents, and maybe even holding players and coaches more accountable instead of trying to be the nice guy all the time.
See, that last one, not the last part, but that last text.
Holding coaches more accountable?
No, before that, when he, and that's what I want to see.
You want me to read
well-ran offense.
Okay, let me read it again, and you tell me which point you're. Rob says, to me, growth will be better clock management, mm-hmm. better play calling in regards to putting people in the best position to succeed.
That part right there.
Okay.
I understand that part, but here's the thing. I think, and I don't know this for sure, so don't quote me on this, but as I'm watching all these games, and I think we've talked about this before, I think he wanted to do more, but he couldn't
because of Will
do
Levis.
More. Will Levis, the offensive line. That's like having, you know, a car, and you, I got my car, you got a car that has a bigger engine. I want to beat you, but I can't because I don't have the horsepower to do it. I may take off real fast, but I can't beat you. I may stay with you for a quarter mile, but I'm not going to beat you in the end. That's where the Titans were last year. And this year, I think he's going to be able, based upon what I've seen from the offensive line, I think he's going to be able to do a little bit more than what he was able to do. It's not that he didn't want to do those things, and the texter's right. That's what you want to see. I don't think he could do those things last year. I think this year, hopefully, from what we've seen, Peter Skoronski looked like the best offensive lineman on that team. If that is indeed the case and everybody else is developing it the way it seems they are, then I think he's going to be able to do a lot more this year than he wasn't able to do last year.
Adam in Portland texts in and says, growth would mean we are in all of these games. These are professionals. They may not know how to win yet, but they should be competitive every week. Adam also clarified what he was trying to say before his phone cut out. He said, my point being is that if those positions are decent on your team, meaning the positions that regularly get drafted number one overall, my point being is that if those positions are decent on your team, you usually have a good team. I feel like our quarterback is going to be good because he's smart and no one sees him coming, but the other positions, pass rusher, sucks. Cornerback, sucks. Offensive tackle, questionable. I think Cam could do really well and us still be a horrible team, but I expect him to be really good, especially in our terrible division. But Adam also said growth would mean we are in all of these games. These are professionals. They may not know how to win yet, but they should be competitive every week. Let's go to T-Mac from Murfreesboro on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. T-Mac, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what D. May said, because I remember watching the season last year and, you know, maybe three games in and you're looking at Will Levis and you're thinking, nah, he ain't it. He ain't it. And even at that point, you know, I started flirting with the idea, like, do we need to tank so we can just get another quarterback? And maybe that's what happened. Maybe they had to be the worst team so they could get a better quarterback. But I think what I want to see from Callahan, I want to see the decision-making in games. I want to see him play mental chess with the other coach over on the other side, like we would see Mike Vrabel do in a playoff game with the Patriots, playing mental chess with Bill Belichick. And I hang up and listen.
Thank you, T-Mac.
I mean, you hope that it gets to that point where, you know, and again, I can play sort of this mental chess back and forth with you when I feel I have the pieces to play. But I ain't playing chess with you with checker pieces. I can't do that. So, yeah, we would like him to play those sort of, you know, be able to do those things that, like, some of those other, you know, well-known coaches have done and continue to do. And when Brian goes against him, you hope that that can happen. But if you've given me checker pieces, I can't play chess no matter what. I just can't play it.
It's like that scene from The Wire where they were playing checker on the chessboard.
Yeah, you can't do it.
What a great show. What a great show that
you
was.
You love The Wire.
Oh, it's
that.
A fabulous show. Nevertheless, Willie, there is another part of this story from Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler on ESPN. Quote, the sense on the ground during Tennessee's training camp is that Callahan is well supported and that modest progress could be enough to keep his job beyond this year, depending on how that progress looks. Quote, he was in an incredibly tough situation last year, a team source said, and team officials have noticed Callahan has shown more vocal leadership in year two, which we might talk a little bit about in the next hour. The objective for the team is clear, just improve. But according to Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler, modest progress could be enough to keep his job beyond this year.
I hope that they're entering in with the hope that he makes it, just because we have documented it. It's a fact. It is historical fact. Now, maybe people don't study history in the Titans front office. I think that somebody probably does and could bring these numbers to the table, how often it hasn't worked when you can the coach right away. So I think you would want him to succeed and not be looking for reasons. Who told us that? Louis Riddick, when we had him on. He said there are a lot of people who are the new regime and they have the holdover coach and you're looking for reasons to get, quote, your guy in there when you're the ones that have put him in a bad position. Right? It's easy to say, well, I know more than this, and so I'm going to get my guy in there. It's not always the solution. So I would hope that you're going in with the hope that he succeeds and doesn't fail. I'm doing a study now. I've got 20 quarterbacks, the last 20, based on Adam's call earlier that got the wheels turning on this. I don't know when we have time to duck this in. But the percentage of the time that the first pick works out satisfactorily to the team, let's calculate in our minds, we can be subjective about it, of how it's worked out. Satisfactory, or you would say, nope, I won't take that for Cam Ward. Right? We'll see, because it's so not a slam dunk. I'm going to guess that it's below 50%, your satisfactory rate. So this is a tough thing. Like, what is progress? Right? That's the big question. It's subjective.
Mm-hmm.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on this. What constitutes growth for Brian Callahan in year number two? But coming up next, we talked about this yesterday, a lot yesterday. The scuffle, the dust-up, the confrontation, the kerfuffle, Teron, between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons at practice. Jeffrey Simmons addressed it after practice today, and I was left unsatisfied by his response. And I'll explain why. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.